Tate from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, a show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
Hello, Darren Patterson.
Hello, sir. Hello, sir. How's your April treating you? It's like hot, it's cold, the weather is up and down.
Oh, it's like a thrill, Darren. Sometimes I just have to pinch myself to make sure it's all real.
Yes.
No, really, I just do that to make sure I can still feel something.
Yeah, I do it because it's my kink.
Yeah.
Like, the weather is...
It's cheaper than cutting.
That's right. Oh, my God. Wow. We got dark really, really quickly here in the book.
We did. That's a new record, I think.
Pinching is cheaper than cutting. Oh, boy. Yeah, maybe we should make short of that part to go viral on YouTube Shorts.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like the weather is, because like a few days ago, it was here on the East Coast, it was in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
and now this week, we're recording on a Monday night,
yeah.
and tomorrow, it's going to be in the 80s. What the
in
fuck?
In the 80s? I hadn't heard that. I was here in the 70s, but wow. That's...
Yeah, I heard this Tuesday, wow. Wednesday, and Thursday, like mid to upper 80s. What the fuck, John? What did you do? Can't you do something?
Okay. First off, I don't know why the top of our show is now the weather segment. I'm just saying that.
And this is what it looks like in your neck of the woods.
And secondly, I am not personally responsible for the weather. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean,
you are white. I mean,
I know we control a lot of the world, but no, not so much the weather.
I don't know about that.
That's the Illuminati, Darren. I've told you.
Oh, do you have their number? Can I call them?
I do, but I can't share it with you.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Are they on Instagram? Can I just?
I think they are, yes.
Nice. Give them a follow.
Yeah.
Illuminati.
I can't believe that you think if there's a worldwide conspiracy of people ruling the world, I'm one of the people in it.
I figured maybe you'd, at the very least, you'd know who I could.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
Yeah. You're in the know. You seem connected.
Darren, think about my life. Think about what you know about my life.
I don't know. Maybe it's a friend.
You look at me and you're like, that's one of the guys secretly controlling my life.
That guy, he's the one that got all his fingers in the pies.
He's obviously got it all together.
He's a high roller, baby. That man, he's the one with his hand on the button on the pulse.
This is a joke that only Darren and I have the full information to truly appreciate. But trust me, it's very funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious, listeners. Trust me.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here to brighten our spirits and hopefully yours. We're going to talk about the latest episode of Saturday Night Live, as we do. This week, it's Coleman Domingo, first-time host with first-time musical guest Anita. This is season 51, episode 17 from April 11th, 2026.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I said 11th with a question mark because I accidentally wrote 17 in my notes, and I was like, that's not right.
April 11th?
It's April 17th. That date hasn't happened yet.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Exactly. It was a very Ron Burgundy teleprompter moment. So
yeah. But actually, before we get into the Coleman Domingo episode, SNL, they dropped a little bit of news on us.
Like to do that, don't they?
Yeah, and they went ahead and told us the hosts for not one show, not two shows, but three shows, the final three shows of season 51.
Well, that's what they do. They drop the three shows all at once. They tell us all what to expect. But yeah, we're going into May.
Yes.
In just a month, it's all going to be over for season 51. Maybe the show altogether. And maybe the world. Who knows?
Who knows
what's going on, you know?
Yeah. I mean, place your bets, people. It could all end tomorrow.
I mean, it could be the final episodes of SNL as we know them. But I mean, if we got to go out, it seems like this is a nice way for them to go out.
It's the end of SNL as we know it, and I feel fine.
Yeah, so on May
the 2nd... Leonard Bernstein!
On May the 2nd, we've got Olivia Rodrigo as the host and the musical guest.
Yes, Olivia Rodrigo. A singer, songwriter, act. I realized that she is also a Disney kid. She was as you know, as a youngster, she was on some Disney Plus shows. Like she was on the series, and I'm saying this correctly, High School Musical, the series.
That's not an unwieldy title at all.
Nope.
Love that for them. That's great. Right.
Yeah, and as a musical performer, she's been on the show twice. She was on the Keegan-Michael Key episode back in 2023, mm-hmm. and the or 2021 rather, and then she was on 2023 on the Adam Driver episode, and she'll be there to promote her new album entitled "You Seem Pretty Sad for a Girl So in Love."
That's a great title. Great title. She was also the one who did the driver's license song, right? That they did that sketch.
Yep, that's her. That's her.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's mm-hmm. her big breakout hit. You know, she's a, you know, this is the host we have for the young people, the youths. I don't know much about her or her music, but I will say it is very interesting. And I remember seeing this online a while back when she went on tour, she had the Breeders open up for her.
And really?
That, okay. She did. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. And like for those who don't know, the Breeders, that's our generation. That's a Gen X band.
That's a Gen X thing. I don't have drumsticks handy, but
that's okay.
That was my college jam. Yeah.
Yes. It's a jam. It's a bop.
It's a banger.
It's a bop. It's fire, son.
By the way, check out the Middle-Aged Dad Band's cover version of that.
Ooh, yeah, with Carrie Kenny Silver.
With Carrie Kenny Silver, exactly right. Yes, yeah.
Ooh-wee. But yeah, I mean, she's an interesting performer. She's also paired up with like David Byrne from Talking Heads and Robert Smith of the Cure.
Again, more people that I know as a Gen Xer. Yes, yeah. It makes me feel with it and relevant. Yeah.
I'm hip. I'm with it. I'm interested in seeing how this is going to play out, and mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. It seems like
another one. It's like, hey, we like this musical guest. They were a good hang backstage. Let's see if they can act in sketches too. Mm-hmm. You never know. We might get another Justin Timberlake out of this.
Ooh.
That's the kind of vibe I'm getting up from here.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's May 2nd, May 9th. We get Matt Damon hosting.
Matt Damon.
And Noah Kahan. Matt Damon has hosted only two times before. Once in 2000.
It seems like more, because he's one of those people who's cameoed a million times.
Right? That's exactly what I thought. I was like,
he was Brent Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
And all that, and yeah.
I looked it up. He hosted in 2002 with Bruce Springsteen as a musical guest, and then in 2018 with Mark Ronson and Miley Cyrus, which we've talked about in this podcast.
That would have been our first year of doing this podcast, I believe.
Yes, with the legendary Weezer sketch. I still think about that sketch from time to time.
Just rewatched it this week because it came up, you know, because Matt Damon was announced as a host. And I was like, I got to watch the freaking Weezer sketch again. And
I got to grow up.
Still holds up.
I got to grow up and listen to Ratitude.
Yep. And, but drink my blood. And I will say it again. I was not a big fan of Leslie Jones when she was on the show, but she freaking killed it in that sketch. It's like, you are a grown ass man. I mean, the fact that it is a black woman in her 40s getting so caught up in discussing Weezer makes it all the funnier, too. Because, you know, not their typical audience, I would say.
I would agree, yeah. I think it's just me, and that's about it, as far as black fans go.
Yes. That is how Darren and I first bonded as friends. He was the one black Weezer fan.
That's me. That's right. And so it's Matt Damon and Noah Kahan. He was a performer before. This is the second time on. He first was on the show back in 2023 on the Emma Stone episode. I remember liking him quite a bit, so this should be a pretty interesting episode to see.
I'd have to go back and look at him. I don't think I remember anything about Noah Kahan. And but, honestly, looking at how he spells his name, I would have guessed Noah Kahan. So I'm very confused now.
No, I believe
Kahan. So
I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Kahn. Like I think it's.
Okay, well, now Kahn. I just want to do a William Shatner impression.
Khan. See, you do the William Shatner Khan. I automatically think Shaka Khan, Shaka Khan. Let me rock you, Shaka Khan.
I mean, and these here's the display of our cultural differences. We come together on Weezer. We defer in other areas.
Yes. See, we're not so different, you and I.
I mean, you have had Shaka Khan on a continuous loop since the mid-80s. I have had Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan on a continuous loop since the mid-80s.
That's right. So. Ebony and ivory together in perfect harmony. Speaking of which,
yes,
May 16th.
A great harmonizer, Mr. Will Ferrell. I mean, his version of Afternoon Delight is incredible.
Right.
I mean, probably, I'm going to go out on a limb, the best singer on SNL the night of May the 16th. I can't imagine anyone more impressive as a singer on SNL the night of May 16th, 2026.
Wow.
I mean, I dare you. I double dog dare you. I triple dog dare you to name a more impressive singer than Mr. Will Ferrell, SNL alum Will Ferrell, on May the 16th, 2026 on SNL.
Musical guest, Paul McCartney.
Okay, well, I stand corrected.
Okay, there it goes. Sir Paul McCartney, I mean, I don't even need to say anything about it.
We don't really need to introduce this guy, right?
He was
a freaking Beatle. He might still be a Beatle. I don't know. I think it's a lifetime appointment, really.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a
Once Supreme a Beatle, Court. Always a Beatle. It's like the Mafia.
Yeah, I was going to say the Supreme Court. Like, you're just in there for life.
That too, yeah.
But yeah, he was on the show four times. He was on the 40th anniversary, 50th anniversary. Will Ferrell, this will be his sixth time hosting. He hosted in 2005, Queens of the Stone Age, 2009, Green Day, 2012, Usher, 2018, Chris Stapleton, and 2019, King Princess. I mean, what a Ferrell and McCartney. That is, wow.
Got the heavy hitters for the season finale. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's going to be one for the ages, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, part of me...
I mean, I hope so, anyway. So.
I hope so. I mean, part of me think that's... I don't know. Like, part of me think that's almost too big.
Too much star power. Too much!
I think so. I think it might be like...
You can't take it!
I mean, I know we haven't... I don't know. I know no one's really mentioned it, but, like, with such a big powerhouse ending for this season, is it possible somebody might leave this season?
Well, that's always possible. There might be somebody who has been with the show for a while who says, yeah, that's it. I'm gonna call it. You know, there's always the people who get let go both expectedly and in the last few years unexpectedly during the late summer. And so we'll find that out in August. And
yeah, that's true. That's true. But like, I feel like if anybody was going to leave, you'd be like, you know what? Yeah, the show where it has Will Ferrell and Paul McCartney on it, that's that seems to be a highlight to go out on. That seems to be the top.
I mean, this is true. I still remember Kristen Wiig's last show where she was where Mick Jagger singing "She's a Rainbow" to her.
Yeah,
and I don't know if you can really find that online anymore because of music rights being what they are. But I mean, it's probably somewhere out there. But yeah, that was a very memorable thing. I know when Cecily Strong left a couple of years ago, we had Austin Butler sing Blue Christmas to her.
Yeah, so. I mean, and Bowen just left with Cher singing to him. I don't know. So, like usually when I see like a legend performing on SNL, part of me think, oh, this. I mean,
that's what Lorne does to like soften the blow.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
I'm sorry this is going to be your last season with the show, but here's Paul Simon. He's going to sing You Can Call Me Al. Does that make you feel better?
You Can Call Me Al.
It's his most touching and sentimental song. I wanted him to sing it after 9/11, but he was like, no, Lorne, I think I should do The Boxer instead. And I said, well, if that's what you think best.
If you must. Oh, boy.
Wouldn't that be great as SNL comes back of their first show after 9/11 and it's just Paul Simon singing You Can Call Me Al or Cecilia? Just if they totally just misjudged the moment and went with a peppy, catchy song.
Jubilation! She loves me again. like, oh my God, I'm so
oh my God, I'm so sad about the Twin Towers. But wait, you got up and washed your face when you came back to bed? Someone had taken your place? What the hell, Paul Simon?
Oh, I'm so many emotions. I lost my family, yet I want to make sense of this song.
She found a new person in the time it took you to wash your face? What the
hell? Wow. Guys, listen to Cecilia. That song's a banger, and
it'll
help you understand this joke.
Great catchy song. I think it's only like 2 minutes long, but it's the most fun 2 minutes you'll have of your life.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Also some of the most confusing, because again, that whole face washing infidelity thing, I still don't get it.
It's puzzling.
It's confused me since I first heard that song.
Yes, and it confounds me to this day.
It tasks me. See, I brought it back to Wrath of Khan.
Nice, Khan! So that's the last three episodes of the season. But until then, we got a new episode.
We gotta talk about this crap.
Wowee.
No, I kid, SNL.
There you go.
I enjoyed this episode for the most part.
All right, there we go. Look at that.
It was a pretty good one.
All right, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We got the Trump making calls cold open. We got James Austin Johnson, JHA, doing his Trump.
Wow, you never see that.
Yeah, I mean, I know, totally uncharted territory for the show. This was another one of their cold opens. Is like, oh my God, we got to cover all this shit that happened in this last week rather than just focusing on one little thing.
But I
thought it handled it better than most.
Better than most, yeah. I think maybe they're getting the message that people are kind of getting sick of Trump and Hegseth, so they're just kind of...
Yeah.
Pad it out with other people so it's not so Trump Hegseth heavy, but they still show Trump and Hegseth.
Yeah, well, there's no shortage of insanity to go around right now. So.
That's true. Yeah. So in this one, it starts off with JJ's Trump talking to Caroline Leavitt, telling him what to tweet and tweet that insane thing he tweeted, praise be to Allah.
Yeah, it's a sarcastic attack on the world's largest religion. And I liked when, after he briefs Carolyn Leavitt, she walks off and James Austin Johnson goes, all three of those were played by Ashley. Or all three, like Pam Bondi and I'm blanking on the third.
Chrissy Noem.
Yeah, Chrissy Noem. He says, all three of those were played by Ashley. It's an interesting detail. I've kind of come to enjoy... James Austin Johnson's Trump breaking the fourth wall and just commenting on what's going on at SNL.
Yeah, he definitely does a lot of like Deadpool She-Hulk moves where he just like talks to the audience and breaks the fourth wall quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the first people that Trump calls is Tiger Woods, who recently flipped his car and got a DUI.
We have to comment on that.
I don't know why they feel the need to comment on it. They don't have anything really to say about it.
Yeah, there wasn't any much insight. And honestly, when they cut to Keenan as Tiger Woods, there wasn't really much of anything to tag him as Tiger Woods outside of him wearing a nondescript polo shirt. So I was like,
yeah,
it's Tiger Woods. Just at least give him the visor or something. Because at first I was like, wait, is Keenan playing O.J. Simpson for some reason?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I mean, his hair was kind of curly. Maybe that was, I don't know.
He needs a hat or something to or immediately tag him as Tiger Woods. And I realize Tiger Woods doesn't really have that distinctive of a look, but.
I mean, he wears a golf shirt and like a Nike hat for the most part.
Yeah. So give him a hat. Give the guy a hat.
Give the guy a hat.
I did like where, like, Tiger is saying, oh, I can't really talk because I'm in this rehab facility right now. And Trump immediately is like, oh, what's the golf situation there? And he's like, oh, well, actually, there's no golf at this facility. And then Trump immediately hangs up on him. That was a good gag.
That was a good gag. Next up, we got Chloe Fineman as Melania calling him. Of course, Trump doesn't recognize the number because he doesn't have it saved. She wants to do that random speech about Epstein, which he did a few days ago. And
right. Which if it were up to me, I would have just built the cold open around that personally.
Yeah. I mean, that's
I think that was the weirdest thing that happened this week. In my opinion.
But, yeah. That's what everybody was talking about. And that's what actually the SNL UK did when they had their show on the same day. Their cold open.
Right. She was playing Two Truths and a Lie. Right. Now I haven't watched that yet, but I heard that was good.
I would watch it because, yeah, like I kind of, in my mind, I sort of compared their cold open to this one, and theirs was better. It's like it was more. I'm sorry.
The Limeys are beating us at our own game.
They damn. Are. Oh,
damn.
The British are coming. Like, damn. They, because,
so
like,
in, and they're already, oh, that's, that ain't I got, right.
America. Yeah. America. I mean, like, I feel like the jokes in their cold open were better. I feel like there was more original, like, structure to their cold open, a more original concept. Yeah. And it was way shorter. The cold open for these.
Okay, SNL I'm sold. I'm moving to England.
Yeah, like the SNL UK cold open was like 2.5 minutes, barely 3 minutes.
Excellent. Love it. Like you had me at 2.5 minutes.
Like they literally just like told the jokes, bang, 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 got out, start the show.
That's what you need to do. You don't need to cover half a dozen stories. And I will say I did kind of like this. But, I mean, after the Melania thing, we had Trump weaseling out of that. And then he calls Pete Hegseth. We get some Pete Hegseth jokes. We get some J.D. Vance jokes. I mean, it's just a lot to pack in. But, yeah. I mean, but I would say this was better than usual. I would say this was... You know, maybe I'll be generous. I'll give it a B minus.
Ooh, look at you being generous. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was okay, but I don't know. Like, I really do prefer when they kind of do something other than the Trump. Like, are there ways to be political with your cold opens without having to always do the Trump and now the Hegseth character? I think. Yeah. I gotta look it up. I think I heard on the Saturday Night Network mention that like JJ's Trump is now tied for Alec Baldwin's Trump. So it does seem like we've seen this JJ Trump as many times as we've seen the Baldwin Trump, which I remember when we saw it. We at one point we're getting kind of sick of this Trump, and now we're I feel like we're getting that point where this is this Trump is kind of getting a little repetitive here.
Well, it's not so much I'm sick of the impression, because I still think it's an excellent impression. It's just more I'm sick of the person they're doing the impression of. And I was sick of the person they're doing the impression of back in, let's say, 2015. So
I would go back to 2010 for me.
Yeah. I mean, 2010, he was a lot easier to ignore. But, you know, what you going to do?
1987. That's when I got.
I was like, "Who's this asshole on this Art of the Deal book? What the fuck? Why is this on my dad's coffee table? I don't like this."
Oh boy, what's yikes, Dad? You got some explaining to do.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I probably just would have done the insanity of the Melania speech, but that's me. Did you notice at the end of the cold open that J.A.J. and Colin had a little trouble coordinating their live from New York together?
I think so, yeah, because they're like
weren't separate. Quite in sync, you know?
Yeah, it happens.
Thank God that never happens to us.
Nope, we're... Call us Lance Bass and J.C. Chazet, because we're in sync.
That's right. Every week, nerds out.
Nerds out.
Perfectly in sync. No, we don't tape those separately and have them edited together later on. What are you talking about? No, that doesn't happen.
Nope. Who told you that? Who told you that lie?
We do that live every single week.
Fuck it. We do it live.
Yeah, fuck it. We'll do it live. We'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks. Oh, I haven't watched that clip in forever. I need to watch that.
It's my alarm. That's how I wake up in the morning. We'll do it live. Yawn.
We'll do it live. I'll write it. We'll do it live.
Look. Oh, time to wake up.
Bill O'Reilly on A Current Affair. Yeah.
Google it, kids. Mm-hmm. So fun next up, stuff. we got ourselves the monologue. This monologue written by Allison Gates, Ken Sublette, and Asha Ward.
This was our host of the week, Coleman Domingo. You know, coming out and as a courtesy to people like me who either don't entirely know the host or sort of know the host but forget where I know him from. Mm. He comes out and very graciously gives us some of his credits, like Fear the Walking Dead, or, you know, if you're a creepy dude over 30, you know me from Euphoria.
Yes. He was also in the movie Sing Sing. Mm-hmm. He says he was in Lincoln. He was on Tina Fey's Netflix series, Four Seasons. And a fun little fact I found out, he actually does have some sketch comedy bona fides, because he was on a little something called The Big Gay Sketch Show.
Oh, that's right, with Miss Kate McKinnon.
With Kate McKinnon, yeah. For those that don't know, it was like a sketch show with a predominantly gay, if not completely gay, cast that aired on Logo.
But it was a big gay sketch show.
Big old honking
gay. Like those other medium-sized gay sketch shows.
Yeah, this was a king-sized sketch gay sketch show. That's
right. Yeah, they super-sized their gay sketch show.
Right. It was like in the late aughts, like 06 to 2010. Kate McKinnon was on it, created by Rosie O'Donnell. Directed by Amanda Bierce, who's probably best known for being Marcy on Married with Children.
And she was a regular director on that? That's neat. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know she directed a lot of the Married with Children episodes. So, yeah, it's cool that she continued her directing career after that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Cool. Coleman has done a lot of stuff, a lot of stage, and he's recently he was on the reboot of The Color Purple, the reboot of The Running Man, and he's here, and he's going to be in the new Steven Spielberg movie, Disclosure Day, but he's here to promote his time on the Michael Jackson biopic coming out where he plays Joe Jackson.
Oh, well, so this guy's killing it. I mean,
he's killing it. Yeah, he's doing well.
He's everywhere, and I didn't know like half of those things. But that's incredible. And I mean, the sketch experience, I would say, really should. Comes out and he's talking about how like he's just kind of creating a vibe, and he says like, you know, when you come to my house, the vibes are spectacular. And he explains like, hey, I'm 56, so boom up, and the camera like moves up to get sort of a bird's eye view of it. So, you know, like when you're looking up in the camera, everything kind of falls into place. Mm-hmm. So he knows the tricks.
Yes, he sets the music. He puts on lights that are flattering for people of color. And he's like, me and Leon are looking great. Ain't that right, Leon? And they cut to Leon Pendarvis, the keyboardist.
He's in the band. Yep.
Doing all right.
I love it when the band gets a little love. That's fun. Mm-hmm. And then we have Jeremy Colhane come out, and they have him boom up on Jeremy Colhane to show like what a glow up Jeremy gets.
Yes.
So yeah, that's fun. He gets a hand mic. So I'm thinking he's a stand up comedian. And he goes out into the audience and he's just chatting with the audience a little bit. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I immediately felt at ease with this person, this host. So
And he talks to a woman in the audience, and the woman talks about how she got tickets from a writer.
Yeah, he's like, sit down. I wouldn't tell anybody that.
And a quick little note, that woman that he talks to, that is a writer. That's Sierra. That's Sierra O'Sullivan, baby.
An SNL writer popping up in a answers question from the audience segment? No.
This is a first.
When they want to get someone who's not terribly recognizable to the regular viewing audience but can still deliver a line, you get an SNL writer, baby.
That's right.
That's what you do. That's what we do. And we also – do you know who the two people making out were?
No, I actually don't.
Yeah, no, neither do I.
I thought you were going to blow my mind with some
info. Thought if I said it really knowledgeably like that, you'd be like – oh, yeah, I didn't get a good look at either of their faces. I have no idea.
Yeah, they're too busy smashing lips to...
They were too busy rubbing parts together, yeah.
Yeah, so...
And good for them, I say.
Yeah, get a
especially
room.
Especially if they're not actually a couple. If they were, I would love it if they were just like two random extras macking on each other, just throwing it down on national TV. That'd be great.
Exactly. Oh, boy. I like this monologue. We automatically are. We find he's a charming guy.
We're in good hands. He's very energetic. I got his vibe. He's very happy. You just dig him. And he's not so in your face that he's annoying or anything. It's just, he's just hitting just the right note.
So far, so good. I think we're going to be all right, guys.
So excellent. Yeah.
So first up, first sketch of the night, Fashion District Robbery. This one was written by Mikey Streeter, Asha Ward, and Jimmy Fowley.
Nice murderous row there.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we got the news reporting. We start out with James Austin Johnson as a newscaster. He's got a great newscaster voice, I will say. He doesn't get to do that often enough.
No, that's good. It's good, baby.
Yeah, it's good. But, you know, there's a robbery. Ashley Padilla is the reporter in the field. The only witnesses to the robbery were the people at the Fashion Institute of Design next door. So we got Marcello, Wickline, Chloe, and our host as these fashionistas just reporting on it.
Chloe, Jane, and Marcello are the students in FIT, and Coleman is their professor, D'Artagnan Meringue, the professor of couture. He doesn't teach, he shows, he is the lesson.
And they ask him to describe the suspect, and he says, I would say he was a 32, and they're like, so he was fairly young. He's like, no, I'm talking about his waist and his inseam.
Yes.
And then he talks about how his look, his clothing was very boho derogatory.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either, but it sounds very impressive.
I like it.
And we have Mikey Day just periodically walking in as the dean, and I got to say, Mikey looked sharp. He looked like that white wig he was wearing was. Mwah.
Yeah, he looked like almost like Tim Gunn, but a little bit like he belongs like in the Hunger Games. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like Tim Gunn times three.
Yes.
But it was a really good look for Mikey. I was like, damn, Mikey, you're going to be a silver fox, man.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I got a kick out of this sketch. I thought it had like a lot of really good lines. Mm-hmm. You know, Coleman saying it, be on the lookout for a mess.
Yeah.
I also like the thing where the other students kind of chimed in saying like, that fit he was wearing must have been from the unemployment line because it was not working.
So they got all sorts of clever lines like that. And then we have Jane Wickline as the student sort of hanging in the back, and she doesn't quite get the hang of doing the cutting clever insults. And so Coleman just goes, Gabby, you are not cut out for this. And I was like, wow, we're getting meta.
Yeah. Gabby, drop out. I beg you. Go back to Connecticut.
I was just like, well, I'm going to read that as a meta comment on the show. I don't know if it was intended that way, but
I don't know. In this sketch, I really do think Coleman really kind of stood out. Like at the points where he was also smoking a cigarette throughout this, and I think at one point Ashley says, "Hey, you're getting smoke in my face," and he just snaps back, "You're getting your face in my smoke."
Yeah, and then I like when we cut out back to James Austin Johnson at the end. He is wearing a matching outfit to Coleman Domingo, and he's also like, "Well, I've gotten a boost of confidence, so." Ashley Padilla, would you like to reconsider my offer? And she's like, oh, you mean for us to hang out as friends when your wife is out of town? No, I don't think so.
And then Coleman just quickly interjects and says, hey, you should take him up on that. You could do worse, but you won't do better. That's pretty funny.
I mean, I thought it was a great premise, a good, simple, easy to understand premise, very funny execution. It worked well for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a kick out of this one.
This was a strong one. Yeah.
Yeah, strong way to start the night, I'd say. I really like this one. Maybe my sketch.
It sounded like you were about to say this was your sketch of the night.
It's a tie between.
You must declare it now, Darren.
No!
You can reconsider.
Go back home to Connecticut.
This is a contender, though. This is a contender.
It's a contender. I mean, for me, it's either this one or the next sketch.
Uh-huh.
We got coming up.
I thought you would like this one, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, why? Because I used to go to barbershops.
You used to? You don't cut your hair anymore?
No, because I'm bald, man. I just shaved that shit.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. You don't have that professionally done?
No. This is all me, baby. It's just a razor and some shaving cream, and I go to town.
All right. All right. Nice. All right.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. So, so the next sketch is a pre-tape, Unique Cuts Barbershop, written by Michael Che and Carl Tart, the two black guys on the right.
Wow, Darren.
I mean,
we got a profile of writers like that.
I mean, hey, man.
I mean, be better. Seriously.
Be best. Yeah. In this pre-tape, we have a bunch of white guys who have lost their confidence, talking about how they're having issues. Mm-hmm. They're depressed.
Divorces. Or
yeah. It's Ben Marshall, Tommy, and Mikey. You know, they can't afford therapy and never feel like a real option. And so they found this other option, going to black barbershops, which is a newer alternative to men's mental health.
Right. And they go into the barbershop. They immediately get nicknames. Like one guy's nicknamed Dahmer because they think he looks like Jeffrey Dahmer. One is nicknamed Epstein.
Little Epstein.
Little Epstein.
Right. And I think at one point Coleman, the plays one of the barbers, like, oh, you need to get your wife back. You got to start hitting it right. You got to get yourself a 100-pack, some coconut water. Wear that ass out.
And I liked when Ben Marshall comes in. He's like, oh, yeah, my wife and I have been having some troubles in the bedroom. And Cam Patterson's character just tells him straight up to cheat. And then we cut back to Ben and his wife, who I think was played by Jane Wickline, if I'm remembering correctly. And she's like, oh, yeah, things are so much better now.
And they do things where the barber sells Tommy some sea moss in a jar that cures COVID and eczema. And then there's another scene that I thought was pretty hilarious where the barbers ask Mikey, just like straight up, who would you rather clap, Pam or Gina? And Mikey, I don't know who those ladies are. I'm sorry. And then it goes to where Tommy is complaining about stuff to his barber, about having to pay for private school, how his wife wants a new kitchen, and then it's immediately interrupted by someone getting shot outside the barbershop on the street. And then Tommy automatically.
And they're so nonchalant about it. They're just like, oh, yeah, he got shot again. That'll happen.
Yeah. And then Tommy is like, you know what? I don't have anything to complain about. I'm good.
Okay. I just looked it up to confirm, and I just confirmed Pam and Gina are the female leads from Martin.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't watch a lot of Martin. But Gina is such a distinctive name, and I remember the Damn Gina was a catchphrase from that show.
See, I knew that right
you
off
knew
the
instantly,
rip.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, but, right? And my part of me was like, I know John's really white, but maybe.
Yeah.
He knows about Martin.
I know that Martin was a thing, but it was not a show that I ever watched.
Okay.
So, you know, I just never liked Martin Lawrence enough to check it out, so.
Okay. Yeah, I think a few people didn't
Sorry
know.
If I'm disappointing you, but I am flattered that you thought I was down with the brothers enough to know Martin, so.
Damn, soul brother. I thought you, damn, homie. I thought you know that. Wow. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know if I can invite you to the cookout now after this revelation.
That's fine. I mean, I wouldn't put enough seasoning in the potato salad. I know this is my lot in life.
Yeah. Too many raisins. I know. I get it.
This is a raisins thing I don't get. Okay. Yeah. I don't get raisins in potato salad, but okay.
It is. I do like raisins, but in potato, I don't even like potato salad. So that's just a me thing.
Like at all?
Not really. I don't know. Like all those like macaroni salad, potato salad. I'm not a big fan of it as far as cookouts go.
Oh, okay.
Right. See, now I can't go to the cookout now that I don't.
No, I guess not. I mean, it's been a long time since we've gone to a cookout together. Yeah. So.
I can play spades.
Maybe that's why.
I guess so. But yeah, I like this sketch quite a bit. I thought it was pretty hilarious. You can kind of tell where the, you know, the premise where I kind of saw where it was going. It's like, oh, you know, nerdy white guys in a black barbershop.
Right.
Like, you know, type of thing. And it ends with, you know, Mikey leaving wearing a do-rag. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, okay. And he's totally acclimated. I mean, I do still find it amusing when Mikey Day is you know, talking black slang. I mean, because I think he knows how absurd that is. And he can like turn it up or down based on how good the sketch needs him to do it. So
yeah, that's all from his. Yeah, that's all from his wilding out days. I'm positive of it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
But yeah, I like,
because when he's out, he's like, oh, and by the way, Pam all day long.
Pam all day, kid. Nah, shit. Nah, I mean. But yeah, I got a kick out of this sketch. I would say this sketch and the Fashion District are probably my two favorite of the night.
Those, I think, are my contenders, too. And actually, there's another one that might be there. I'd have to rewatch these. I've only watched the show once at this point, so I haven't rewatched any of the sketches. So I may have to review a little before I make my final decision. But
okay, but
it's an embarrassment of riches, and we have this many sketches that we like in a show. So
I would agree. So let's move on. Let's go to Artemis 2.
Artemis 2. This was one of the big news stories of the week. We had the Artemis mission, just circling the moon. They were like further out than anybody's ever been. Ooh. I mean, wow. Did you watch the landing?
No, I did not. But
I did not. I did not either.
Heard about it. Heard it was pretty great.
Heard it was great. You know,
they made it back home,
inspiring, all that good stuff. And yeah, I should look it up.
Yeah, I mean, they made it back home. I mean, they. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, with the way the planet is, I don't know if I would want. I'd probably be like, let's hang out here for a little bit longer.
I did see a lot of like memes circulating this week. Is like, congratulations on these people for being further from Donald Trump than anyone has ever been.
So, oh, what a dream!
So this, it was like a 10-day mission, I believe, and this is like the day 9 mission log, and we've got Coleman Domingo as an astronaut. He's trying to make this thoughtful video talking about how meaningful it is. And we're seeing Earth from space out through the window. And then all this other stuff is happening to undercut the sincere moment he's trying to have.
Yeah. Coleman's playing Victor Glover. And it's pretty a simple premise where he's doing a video for the people back on Earth. And as he's doing it, there's like a Pringles can that floats into the camera because it's not Velcro to the wall. Right. And then we see Mikey and Marcello as astronauts kind of floating and fighting over it. We see
Marcello declares a Canada slaps.
The Canada slaps.
We got a Canadian flag up there. And then we have Sarah coming in. She is asleep, but she fell asleep unvelcroed, so she's just floating around the capsule.
Yeah. And at one point, they do like a floating hat thing where Mikey kind of let the hat float and Marcello like floats up into the hat. And
no hands hat. Yep.
Is like super psyched about it.
Unfortunately, I could see like a little bit of somebody's hands up at the top of the frame.
Oh, really?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so boy. The illusion slightly spoiled, but you know, live TV, what you going to do?
Yeah. At one point, Mikey sneezed in space. So there's like this. This like stream of snot coming from his nose and like floating upward.
Snot rocket, right? Yep.
Yeah, floating snot rocket going into space. And Marcello gets his penis stuck in a vacuum tube.
At one point. He was like, hey, my pee-pee's stuck in the tube again. Because, you know, they have to have elaborate procedures to do basic functions out in space.
That's for like urinating? Or I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a jerking off joke or something.
I don't think so. No, I think that's the apparatus they have to use to relieve themselves. But I'll have to watch some documentaries and maybe Apollo 13 again.
Okay. I thought he was trying to stick his dick in a vacuum or something. Like,
I mean, it could be both things.
Why can't it be both?
Yeah. I mean, he's multitasking maybe.
Yeah. Taking a pee and while I'm at it.
This was... All right. I didn't feel like it was quite there. I definitely feel like it was too long. It was nearly 5 minutes. A lot of these sketches were like 5 minutes, which is on the long side, in my opinion. But
Yeah. This sketch was, I mean, there wasn't much of escalation and like the whole, everything that they were doing.
We love the escalation here at the
end. I just want the sketch to like kind of go somewhere, and it really kind of wasn't. It was just kind of, just fiddling about. This sketch, so like,
yeah,
wasn't much here.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to take it all the way into totally absurd territory because it's, I mean, they're parodying real people and a real mission that went off without a hitch. I mean, they calculated the arrival like down to the minute.
Ooh.
Like they had their splashdown at like 8:07. So, I mean, I guess we don't want to like show them all being dipshits or something, but
yeah, you don't want to be disrespectful. I get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this sketch was just kind of okay for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't blow me away. I probably would have liked it if it was like, just a tight 3 minutes, but
yeah, absolutely. Well, what if I told you, John?
Yeah, okay, I'm listening.
No, that's the name of the sketch. What if I told you? Written by Allison Gates and Claire McFadden.
Hmm.
See if this blows you away. So I'm not sure why they called it What If I Told You, because the sketch is a, I guess, like a science PBS show, The Knowledge Hour with Henry DeBrie. It's like a Neil deGrasse.
They never title the sketches the title they flash on the screen. I don't know why they do this, but it's a thing that I've come to accept that SNL just does now. It's the same as like not giving Weekend Update characters' names anymore. Although we did have a Weekend Update character's name this week, so
we did. There we go. We did it.
So yeah, just sue them for that.
Huzzah!
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have Coleman playing this Neil deGrasse Tyson type. I guess it's like a science show. And he's asked the audience, what if I told you there were more trees on Earth than stars in the Milky Way? What if I told you that this table is a person? And he taps it, and it's Ben who stands up, and the table's actually a person. Yeah. And then he says,
What if I told you this clock was a man? And I'm not sure. Did Coleman, like, walk over to the wrong mark or something?
He did. He fucked up because that is the point. Because like he says, what if I told you this? Like you said, this clock was a man, but he was clearly by the books and the bookshelf.
Right.
And then there's like there's like a long beat. Even the audience kind of sounded confused. Like what?
Yeah, because he doesn't. You know, the person there doesn't look like a clock.
No, not at all.
he's just got a brown makeup on his face to blend into the background of the bookcase. And and then later he walks over to a grandfather clock and he's like, what if I told you this clock was a man? And everyone's like, oh, that's what he was supposed to walk to before. Okay.
He says, I mean this clock. And that's when Tommy is dressed up as a clock and he leaves. Yeah, he goofed, but I would say he recovered pretty well.
I mean, yeah, he wasn't like so totally thrown. It was just an awkward moment. Honestly, I'm surprised that sort of thing doesn't happen more often on the show.
Yeah. The fact that it doesn't happen is kind of impressive, actually.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it. I mean, yeah. So he screwed up a wee bit of blocking, whatever.
Right.
And then, his niece was a fireplace.
Right.
And that was Chloe, who just kind of unfolds her body. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's me in a costume.
Then he says, what if I told you this vase is a city councilman? But then the vase is actually just a vase.
Right.
And then he finds that the councilman was called away on business, so he couldn't be there. And then he gets really depressed and upset. He gets so mad that he could throw this potted plant. Oh, my God, the potted plant is actually a man.
Right. And then he sort of spirals and he's like, what if my old crush from college was watching and it was this girl that I liked and I haven't forgotten for 40 years. And then we have Dismukes come in as a city councilman who is supposed to be the vase. And he confesses, well, what if I told you that 2 weeks ago I had a sexual dream about us that blew up my marriage?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if I'm gay, but I'd like to get married and find out.
Right.
What?
What if I told you that this painting on the wall is an ordained minister and it's Keenan as an ordained minister. And yeah, they decide to get married. I was still on the sketch, but I love the bizarre ending. That was great.
Yeah, because it ends with Keenan marrying them, pronouncing husband and vase. And then there's like this Dixieland jazz version of Here Comes the Bride and everybody starts dancing.
Right.
This was a bizarre one.
It was. I like how out there it ended, though. I was.
Yeah.
like at the beginning, I'm not a big one for sketches that are just like, I'm going to repeat this catchphrase over and over. And there was a whole lot of, what if I told you? What if I told you? What if I told you? But it was all set up for this great ending. So I'm more favorably inclined to the sketch now. So
yeah, like, when I finished watching the sketch, I was like, what did I just see? Like this feels like a 10-1 for sure. But it was kind of, you know, it's on before Weekend Update. This was, I mean, I don't know if I thought it was funny, but it was definitely interesting.
We don't expect to get this weird this early usually. So
yeah, maybe that's what threw me off. It was too much weird too early in the night.
You got to ease into the weird.
Yeah, it's like a pool. You can't just do a cannonball into the pool. You got to ease into it.
You got to dip your toe in.
Dip your toe in.
Go in up to your knees. Wade around a little bit.
You get
Splash it. Splash some water on your torso.
Yeah. Ease into the water, baby.
Yeah, maybe like go down and just your head's bobbing above the water.
Exactly. And
I forgot where this metaphor was going.
But I don't know. I'm sure. I'm thinking about my time at the Y at the pool now. But
yeah, you just want to soak in the weirdness.
But what if I told you? Interesting sketch. It was definitely, maybe if I watch it a few more times, I'll warm up to it more, but it's definitely like.
Don't do me any favors, Darren.
Okay, fine. I won't.
Don't feel like you have to fall in love with this sketch for my sake.
Don't make me fall in love with you, sketch.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't blow up your marriage for this sketch.
I'd like to get married and fight.
Don't throw your marriage away for this SNL sketch. It's not worth it, Darren. It's not worth it, I say.
Oh, God. Oh boy. And our musical guest up, Anita. She does two songs, Choca Choca and Varias Quejas, which translates to several complaints. unless I looked it up wrong, but I appreciate it.
That's what the several complaints were about. Your horrible Spanish translation.
Complaint number one. I honestly don't have too many notes. I don't have any notes about this. I thought there were.
Yeah, I was like, this is all foreign talk.
Yeah. Wow. Whoa.
What's going on here? You know, the first number, it's more about her with her backup dancers. And yeah. I was just like, I feel like I'm just watching her aerobics class.
Yeah. I mean, she's a Brazilian. I think she might be the first Brazilian to be on SNL. I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, it's some nice world pop, some nice dance moves.
She's got a pretty voice.
Yeah. It felt like she was like, was she lip syncing through this or am I making that up? I don't know.
I don't know. I wasn't really looking for that. So I can't say. I mean, this is, you know, it's another one of the musical guests where it's like we're doing the big production number. And so when there's especially so much dancing is in the first one, it wouldn't surprise me if she was lip syncing to a pre-recorded track, but I don't know.
Okay. But yeah, I thought it was okay. I thought it was pleasant. Yeah. That's all I have. Sorry. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Yeah, sorry, Anita
people
fans.
People come to this podcast for the hard-hitting musical analysis, and to those people I say, do you think Lorne Michaels knows who Anita is?
Not at all.
Not at all.
No.
Fuck no.
Absolutely.
I didn't know who she was, so I don't see how the hell Lorne Michaels knows who she is.
Yeah, because you, as I've said earlier, you are plugged in. You are in the know.
Right.
So if Lorne doesn't know it and you don't know it, then who knows?
Yeah. I'm plugged in. I eventually put together that Gina was a character from a mid-90s sitcom starring Martin Lawrence. So I am plugged in to the now.
What's up? Let's see. There you go.
Yeah.
Weekend Update. Colin Jost, Michael Che.
Weekend Update. Colin Jost, Michael Che.
Hey.
What do we got to say about this one? I like that Jost had just a totally made-up Donald Trump post, which was so insane it actually sounded convincing.
Yeah, because our...
That was something.
Our leader is insane. All right.
I mean, because here's the thing. I do not follow that man on any social media. I've muted his name. I try to minimize my input as much as possible about that man for my own sanity.
Mm.
And yet I still keep up with most everything insane that he says, because I have friends who feel the need to screen cap and share.
Yeah. Can you believe he said, yeah, can you believe he said this? Yes, I can. He says insane shit.
Yeah.
Literally every day.
Every day, usually every hour, it's a problem.
Yeah. Like, it would be more shocking if he said something like, you know, cohesive and intelligent. Like,
here's a well-reasoned argument with no grammatical mistakes.
That would be shocking.
That would blow me away. That would, so.
That's when I'd be like, that's AI. There's no way he said that.
So what was I saying? Yeah, so I think they did a good job of sort of accessing his insane voice as it stands now.
Right, yeah, for sure. Joe's had a good joke talking about how, you know, this Iranian war and how he tweeted the Iranians don't seem to realize that they have no cards. And Joe's is like, they're literally holding us straight.
That was a good joke. I also really like the joke where they said that Trump has already been to a paradise with 72 virgins, and then they took a picture of Trump with Jeffrey Epstein.
Never forget.
Harder hitting than Update usually does these days. So I appreciated that. So
yes. Che had a good joke talking about how there are some sharks in the Bahamas that have tested positive for painkillers, and the only animal that consumes more painkillers are tigers, and put the picture of Tiger Woods up.
Yeah. I also liked, he was talking about Melania's press conference, and she says, you know, oh, I didn't meet Trump at a, I didn't meet Trump through Jeffrey Epstein. And he says, oh, of course not. She met Trump when Trump cracked open her shipping container.
Wow.
Which, yeah, I actually saw some speculation this week that, you know, there was a possibility that Melania was trafficked herself. And I was like, oh, you know, I hadn't ever thought of that. That kind of wrinkled my brain a little bit.
It's all depressing, John. It's all depressing.
You know, and I have no idea if that's true. I have no idea how to verify if that is true. I mean, I feel like we won't find out the full extent of all of today's insanity until, like, at least 20 or 30 years from now. You know?
Yeah, I think once we're, like, years removed from it, and, you know, hopefully if there's a planet by then, like, our children's children will be like, wow, they were really did you see what they did back then, back in 2020, blah blah blah, they were out of it.
they were well, I mean, this is, they're gonna seal this stuff up tighter than the JFK files, you know,
probably. Yeah.
if we're lucky, maybe our descendants will find out just how truly fucked things up are. So we got a couple of death segments, though.
Yes.
Oh, you know, wait, they did have a New Jersey joke.
Oh, right, so yeah.
I feel like as New Jersey's resident preeminent SNL fans, we should note that.
Yeah, so they pointed out how the state of New Jersey in a recent poll was found to be the state with the most adults still living with their parents. And the name of the study is, oh, Ma, why you got to tell them that for?
Yeah. Honestly, Jersey. Pretty good joke.
That was pretty good. So
anything you want to say, Darren?
No, I'm good. I don't live with my mom anymore.
Okay. Yeah. What age were you when you moved out again?
33.
Okay. And the reason you moved out?
I got married.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. But I'm not there anymore, though.
Yeah. I'm just noting it for the record.
I'm a big boy.
And no shade on you, buddy, because I am certain that if I were I was still living in the same state as my parents, I would have moved back in with them at some point. So no shade, my friend.
Hey, if they're cool with it, they got a spare bed. Yeah, great.
Exactly.
You know, they know how to do your laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
First... Oh, I haven't done my own laundry. I've done my own laundry since I was 13. There's no way they would be doing my laundry. Oh, okay.
You're not handling my delicates, Ma. I got this.
No. I mean, like, there was one time my mom had some sort of surgery when I was 13, and they were like, "Oh, you're gonna have to start doing your laundry yourself for a few weeks." And somehow it never went back to my mom doing my laundry.
All right. self-sufficient.
I don't even know if she really had surgery. I think that was just the story they told.
Oh my god.
I don't know if she actually slipped a disc.
Tell him you gotta have surgery, see if he buys it.
We're gonna tell him you had to have surgery. You're gonna like just disappear for the better part of the day.
He has to do his own laundry.
You're gonna spend a couple weeks in bed recovering.
He has to do his own laundry, make his own meals, pay the electric bill.
And by the end, he'll understand how fabric softener works. Yes, okay.
Exactly. We'll have to clean the gutters, maybe mow the lawn.
Okay, but should we get into the death segments?
Yes, yes. So the first one, we get two kids from the back of the school bus talking about inflation. This one is written by Marcelo Hernandez, Colin Jost, Cam Patterson, Carl Tart, and Asha Ward.
Yeah.
And
so who are these kids? Do they have names? No time for that now.
Yeah, they're just
two kids from the back of the bus. That's all you need to know.
All you need to know, because as we all know, the cool kids and the rowdy kids sit in the back of the school bus. Everywhere. It's universal.
Yeah, this is true.
True. And the quiet nerds sit up front. So we get Marcelo and Cam as two rowdy kids. You know, one of their phones got confiscated. They don't know why. He didn't even do nothing. He didn't do anything. And, turned out he posted a video.
He did do something.
Yeah, he did do something. He posted a video of himself swiping a debit card through the bus driver's neck folds. And and then they talk about inflation and how it's sky high, and then even his friend Grabon can't afford groceries anymore. And that's when Joe's like, Grabon, who's Grabon? You know, Grabon these nuts.
Yeah, don't make me relive it any further.
Grabon these nuts.
No, Darren, I ask you to stop. It's just have pity on me.
Yeah, I mean, they're smart, John. They get tutored by Amanda Cajol. Amanda Cajol, these nuts! I mean, have you ever stopped to think about why they act this way, John? You know, then Colin says, yeah, he's sorry. He can be insensitive because when he was younger, he was diagnosed with Ligma. Ligma fat nuts! It's nuts, John. It's nuts. Talk about the nuts.
I only have a short time left on this planet, and
oh my God, are you dying?
No, I'm okay. I'm okay. It's just a function of age.
Okay.
But I had to spend 4 minutes 46 seconds watching the sketch. I just spent another couple of them hearing you recount the sketch and. And now I'm depressed. I had problems with this. I didn't care for this. You know, partly because like Colin had to be the straight man and be like, "Hey, you guys gotta behave." But I was like, Colin doesn't give off enough of a teacher vibe.
Yeah.
For this to work, I was like, I could see Seth Meyers doing it, but you know, Colin is more of like I guess a big brother type of vibe.
Yeah, he's not the stern taskmaster.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like enough of an authority figure. So I didn't buy that. And also, I was like, okay, in the bits in the sketch where Marcelo and Cam Patterson, no relation, have to talk seriously about, what were they supposed to be talking about? Inflation?
Yeah.
they're like mispronouncing words that they're scripted to say. So I was like, okay, well, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
It went on way too long. So.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, it did go on a little too long, and it really is just kind of runs on Cam and Marcelo's energy and them just kind of wilding out, as the kids say, and just how much you enjoy nuts humor will kind of dictate how much you like this
Dictate.
Dictate. Oh, shit. I learned that joke from going to the deacon. My deacon, your mouth. Okay. Oh. That, I learned. Oh my God! It's high school all over again.
I've wasted my life.
Oh God. But yeah, that one. It's I thought it was okay, but yeah, like I can see how for a lot of people.
Yeah, I didn't care for that at all.
Well, did you care for the Gen Z sexpert Lint Greer, written by Allie Levitan, Claire McFadden, Rachel Pegram, and Jane Wickline?
It rose to the level of okay.
There you go.
Yeah. I will say it slightly exceeded my expectations.
There you go. Glowing review. Here we go.
Yeah. Not my favorite, so.
Yeah.
There were a couple of lines. She's a Gen Z sexpert, and she says, like, you know, whether you're vanilla or disgusting.
Yeah.
Her main piece of advice is just do whatever.
Right. Because in this one, Michael Che talks about how young people seem to be having less sex nowadays than at any other point in history. Wow. So we get Gen Z sexpert Lint Greer, played by Jane Wickline, but it seems like she doesn't know anything about sex or even what it is, really. It's like, sex can look like anything. What is it? sex can come in all shapes. It doesn't have to be with somebody you love. It just has to be at night. There's only two rules in sex. Number one, have fun. Number two, no raping.
Yeah. And then Jay goes like, what? And she says, oh, you disagree, Jay? I like that. That was good.
Like, no, that just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, well, rape can come out of nowhere.
Yeah. So there were some good ideas scripted in there. We also find out sort of the depths of her ignorance later, where she describes doing a somersault and she thinks she might have had sex. It's hard to top the have fun, number one, have fun, number two, no raping.
That's number two.
Where do you go from there?
That's number two, John.
That's the number two.
God. And I like how Che asks her, like, no offense, but have you had sex before? And then there's like a long pause, and she's like, I must have. I've had something that might be sex, and I've had it a lot. And if I haven't had sex, then what do you think I had? And Che's like, is that like a riddle or something? What are you talking about?
Yeah. That was okay. That was just so vague. I think I would have liked to have heard more specific things about what she thinks might have been sex.
Fair enough. All right. Now, I like this part. I actually thought this, like, I know with Jane, she can be a little polarizing with a number of people. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't really click into her sense of humor. And I said it before in the podcast. She's like a Fred Armisen or a Kyle Mooney, where her type of humor isn't for everybody. But I will say, I think this.
She can be an acquired taste.
Acquired taste, yes, like cilantro. Yeah. But I will say, I think. I locked into this one more than I have most of her other stuff in the past. I like this one. I will say that. I'll give this a thumbs up.
I'll give it, maybe a moderate thumbs up. Okay. My thumbs at angle to like sort of a 45 degree angle. That's about as far as the needle can go on this.
All right. Well, I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, but hey, for me with Jane Wickline, that's a freaking rave.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a 5-star review right there.
That's right. That's right.
But
it's all relative, baby.
That's right. Take the wins where you can.
And speaking of relatives.
Oh, shit.
Right next sketch. Grandpa's Wake.
You sly bastard.
That's right. Transition King, baby.
This one was written by Martin Herlihy, Sierra Sullivan, Jimmy Fowley, Streeter, Cy Dell.
Well, that's probably why I liked it.
There you go.
So we got a family mourning a grandfather who's passed away. It looks like he lived to a ripe old age. We got a picture of the guy. We got a guy sitting in the casket. I'm assuming they're the same guy. For the sake of the sketch, I'm just going to assume that they are.
Right. We have Padilla playing the mom. Mm-hmm. We have Jeremy and Marcelo as their two sons. And, everybody's coming to pay their respects for, the passing of the grandfather.
And Marcelo's like, hey, I'm sorry I never got to know Grandpa better because we were in different states, so I never got to see him much. I don't know much about his life. And then we have a colorful parade of characters, or a parade of colorful characters coming in.
Right. We have Keenan dressed up as a pimp.
Employer of sex workers?
Yes. That's a better, yes. Employer of sex workers.
I don't know. Is there a more politically correct term for pimp these days, or are we still just calling them pimps?
I don't think so. Like, I mean, there is for ladies of the evening.
Yes, now we just say sex workers, and they say sex workers in the sketch.
They do, they do. But
Keenan comes in, has suede, and he's like, and Ashley's just sort of very nonplussed. She's just like, oh, yeah, that's suede. He's one of his friends from The Life.
The sons are like, The Life?
Yeah.
And then we have Veronica and Sarah as two sex workers.
Right.
Coming to pay their respects. And Sarah dumps a shopping bag full of pills into the coffin. And Veronica makes out with the corpse.
She Frenches the guy in the coffin, which, yes, wow.
Is. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
At one point, the mother says, like, I'm sure wherever Grandpa is, he's looking up at those girls smiling.
Yeah. Looking up?
Yeah.
And then, let's see, we have our host, Goldman Domingo, as Delicious, who comes in and they're... And so the sons are thinking like, oh, was Grandpa secretly a pimp? And he's like, no. Delicious says, he was one of my best hoes.
Woo.
So, yes. Yeah, Grandpa was a sex worker himself.
Yeah. You could do whatever you wanted to him, but you make sure you paid him his dollar.
Yeah. And he also made a comment as like how the body should be turned over. So he was face down, booty up.
Wow.
And Delicious says to the two sons, he says to Marcello, you could earn. You, Jeremy, you go to college. And they're like, was Grandpa a sex worker? And he's like, no. He preferred the term boy whore.
I mean, who doesn't?
I mean, sure. That's just fun to say boy whore.
Yeah. Jane Wickline. Yeah, she says, oh, I missed your grandfather. They think that, you know, Jane is pregnant with the grandfather's baby, but she's not. She just has a picture of him tattooed on her pregnant belly. The baby actually belongs to somebody named Muffin. And Muffin is Mikey Day, who pops out of the coffin dressed up.
The lower half of the coffin, yes.
Yeah, the lower half of the coffin dressed up as that same character he was dressed up in the Waffle House sketch.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, like, remember he was in the Waffle House sketch on the Jenna Ortega episode, the cornrows and the arm in a cast?
You're right. I just didn't have an instant recall of that costume, so okay. Yeah. Nice bit of continuity there.
Nice little continuity. So then we also see J.A.J. as another pimp, White Coco.
Wait. We're just going to totally gloss over what Mikey said.
Oh, right, yeah.
He's talking about, oh, yeah. I'm happy to report rigor mortis has said it. So
Jesus.
Yeah. Wow. We have a full on necrophilia joke in all this week.
That was kind of disturbing. I kind of wanted
to look. That was.
I was like, oh, do I want to bring this up?
Yeah. But yeah, then we have James Austin Johnson as White Coco. I'm loving the names. And he's laughing, and it's like, hey, laugh because it happened, cry because it's over.
Yeah, and then we get Colin Jost as a pimp, Mac Daddy Vanilla.
Right.
Wow, he's making all the appearances in these sketches.
Yeah, and again, they just, you know, we know how funny it's going to be having one of the whitest guys in the cast.
Yeah.
Speaking the Ibanics.
And, you know, of course, like all the other pimps, they talk about how Marcello could earn and Jeremy cannot. And it's like, oh, what were you, adopted from the Shire?
And they're like, yeah, call me if you want to get into the life. And Jeremy's like, what is the life and why can't I live it? And then I like how at the end we just, like, Jeremy's. It's like, oh, no, I am going to follow my granddad's footsteps. And then we just cut to a newspaper headline that says, ho with no clients gets hit by a bus.
Yeah, I haven't seen a newspaper ending in a sketch since, like, the 90s.
You know, it's been long enough that almost seems kind of fresh again. Yeah.
What's old is new again.
We get. I don't think I've seen that since maybe we did the Superman show and we were reviewing the Superman sketches that SNL did. And think a couple of those sketches ended with headlines like, you know, Man of Steel murders innocent tobacconist or something like that. So,
you're right. Yeah, I remember that being a big thing in the 90s that the
newspaper. And we kind of moved on as a society to find other ways to end our comedy sketches. But yeah, we're bringing it back. We're, you know, it's like Justin Timberlake bringing sexy back. We're bringing right. newspaper headlines back to end comedy sketches with.
We're bringing newspapers back. Yeah.
Yeah, we're still workshopping the lyrics, but yeah, we'll work it out. Yeah,
exactly. We're in the studio, just working it out. We're in the studio. We're in the lab, son. But yeah, this sketch, I got some laughs out of it. It was pretty.
I enjoyed this one. This was it's a long one, but it's just shy of 6 minutes. But it moved along pretty well. It escalated. It had some twists and turns. It had a definite ending. It didn't just peter out. So yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely. Thumbs up to this one. Mm-hmm. So next up, we got Prep School, written by Tommy Brennan, Tucker Floodman, Maxwell Gay, Claire McFadden, Cam Patterson, no relation.
Hmm. No dismukes in the writing.
Not that I could find, no. Which
I kind of thought he would have had a hand in the writing, because he did play a prominent part in the sketch.
Yeah. According to my findings... No dismukes, sir.
I don't debate your research skills, sir.
Okay. Yeah,
I am just saying, because Dismukes was the voice of reason in the sketch, and that is often the position cast members write themselves in. So,
yeah, that's true. But no, I couldn't find him. My research is sound, sir.
Okay. All right.
So in this one, we go into a prep school, Dead Poets Society style. All these young boy students looking forward to meeting their new teacher.
At Sherwood Academy, yes.
At the academy. And the teacher is our host, Colman Domingo, bursts in trying, and he wants to shake things up in the classrooms. And
he's a nonconformist, that one.
Nonconformist.
Yeah. He's got a lot of radical ideas.
And the students are nervous because they're saying, but the academy's creed is the learned boy shall conform.
Yeah, so... and then we have Dismukes kind of swiftly pointing out, hey, this sort of thing might work in a poetry class, but this is math, so.
Yes, and the teacher is like, no, like, I'm sure you've been taught all your whole lives, 5 times 5 is 25, but what if it isn't?
Yeah.
Let's make up numbers. Beleventy, flutitoo. And, like, suddenly everybody in the class is sort of conforming, not conforming, but they're buying into, yes, let's make numbers can be whatever we want. And like you said, Dismukes is the voice of reason, saying, no, math
can't hear you, Darren.
Needs to conform to something. You can't just make shit up off the top of your head with math. Oh, shoot.
Who?
Hello?
Yeah, I think you must have lost your connection for a bit.
I think so. Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I didn't touch anything, but yeah, the connection just dropped, but it like reconnected.
It's cool. I mean, I didn't pause the recording or anything, so I think we're good. Frank will just have to edit out a wee bit. I think the last thing I heard from you was the fictional number, 1170, whatever that was.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Actually, wait. Sorry, wait. Hold on. I have to sneeze real quick.
I'll allow it.
Okay, all right.
Oh, you all muted right. yourself for this news. Ooh, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm a goddamn professional.
Okay.
All right. So pick it up from Beleventy.
Yeah, you know, wherever you think a letter together. Well, okay. I can't say for sure. Yeah, okay. you were kind of taking the point. I'm describing the sketch. I didn't have as many notes on this, so.
Okay. So the students are making up numbers like Beleventy and Flutitoo. And Dismukes is being the one voice of reason saying, no, you can't just, be nonconformist with math. Math needs to conform. And, you can't just wing it with math.
Yeah.
And
we have Keenan as this wise custodian. And we go into... we're talking about, you know, oh, what if one and two are married and three is their baby and four is like the family dog and five is the neighbor, and we get all the way to eight, and I think Cam Patterson, No Relation, points out that eight is slim thick.
So. Yes, I think I'm attracted to eight.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think at one point Ben's
got
like,
a big old booty.
Yeah, it does. I think at one point Ben says, "What if you can count every number in one breath? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8."
And Dismukes' character just isn't having any of this, and he gets
like, frustrated.
Hey, no. Yeah, getting increasingly frustrated, and he ends up falling out a window. It's a very Frank Grimes on The Simpsons kind of death.
Yes! Yeah. Very good.
I'm going to question the logic so hard it's going to kill me. Yeah.
Yeah, so. And then he ends up falling out the window. The teacher sees this, and he leaves. He's like, this never happened. I'm out of here. The janitor's the teacher now. And then he just bounces, and the janitor takes over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt it kind of went a little too long.
Yeah, for me, the big handicap on this is it's no farewell, Mr. Bunting, which for my money is the Dead Poets Society parody to end all Dead Poets Society parodies. Although I guess there's a little Goodbye, Mr. Chips in there, too. But
yeah,
but screw it. I've never seen Goodbye, Mr. Chips. I'm a Gen Xer. It's a Dead Poets Society thing.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Stake your claim.
Yeah. And that's, if you don't remember that sketch, that's the sketch where the teacher is leaving after he's been fired for all his nonconformist theories. And the kids get up on their desks to praise him, like at the end of Dead Poets. And they're all beheaded by the ceiling fan.
Yeah. I feel like every time SNL does like a prep school sketch, people maybe unfairly always compare it to Farewell, Mr. Bunting. That sketch, like, I don't think they can do another prep school sketch ever because of Farewell,
Mr.
Bunting.
That's what I'm saying, is it casts such a long shadow. It's like, if you're going to do another prep school sketch, and especially if you're doing another Dead Poets Society sketch, it has to at least match that in quality, and I don't feel like this quite got there.
Yeah, so, I would agree. It was...
Yeah.
It was okay, but yeah, it wasn't... it was lacking something.
Yeah, and it is a long one. Again, this is like nearly 6 minutes. That's...
That's
crazy pants.
Yeah.
What are we doing here, people?
Yeah, they definitely could have chopped off some of the time here. Made it a little tighter. But yeah. It's whatever.
Tighten it up.
And then we end the night with Beastamorphs, written by Dan Bulla, Martin Herlihy, Jack Bensinger.
Surprised Sarah doesn't have a writing hand in this, but okay.
I was actually surprised too when I looked it up. Yeah. I was like, really?
Dan Bulla, that I see, totally.
Yeah.
So, there's some weirdness, it's pre-tape. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, so this is basically a play off of Animorphs. For those, I'm sure some of you out there remember, but basically Animorphs was this kids show that came out in like the late 90s, early aughts, based off...
Wasn't it a series of books first?
It was. A series of Scholastic books that was like super popular. Basically, a bunch of kids that turn into animals and like fight aliens or something. Yeah. And then it
became, say aliens. Yeah.
Yeah, I think aliens were involved somehow.
It was all weird shit in the 90s.
I mean, by the time these books,
kids turn into animals and weird shit happens. Right.
Yeah. I mean, by the time these books came out, I was in college. I was doing grown man shit, so I didn't have a chance.
I was living in my own apartment. I wasn't paying attention to Animorphs.
Yeah,
I vaguely heard of it, but
right.
Yeah, it was like, I guess the people at Scholastic are doing lots of ecstasy now. Okay, good for them.
Exactly. Nice, good for them. Yeah. But then it turned into a series that aired on Nickelodeon. I think it was like a Canadian series that came on.
Was it live action animated?
I think it was live action. So
we're using like primitive morphing effects to turn them into animals.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, got it. All right.
So, but if you were a kid in the late 90s, this you would have remembered Animorphs.
This was the shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So in this sketch, I do like the look of this sketch because it does look like a late 90s like kids TV show.
Yeah, it kind of did. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
They nailed that, I will say. But So in this sketch, the teens just battled the big bad, played by Coleman Domingo. So they
Chimungus, I think his name was.
Gesundheit.
Yes.
Hey.
So, yeah, he quickly disappears, but don't worry, he's going to be back later on the sketch because he's the freaking host.
Yes.
And the kids are all turning back into their human forms from animals so that they can go home and do their homework and do normal kid stuff.
Yeah.
But Sarah gets stuck in half frog, half human form when she sneezes and farts at the same time.
Yeah.
It's science. Yeah.
Science.
So she's sort of in this weird morphous frog head thing. Apparently, like I saw from what I saw on Sarah's Instagram, she was wearing like a prosthetic frog head thing. And then I think they just stretched her mouth and eyes out using computer effects.
Ooh.
Computer. So, yeah, some sort of filter or something.
Okay.
And all the kids are trying to figure out how she can transform herself back into human form. So.
Right. So she thinks, well, maybe if I sneeze and fart again, I'll change back.
Sure.
And yeah. She doesn't.
Valid theory.
Yeah. And so she tries to fart twice, then sneeze, then burp. Mm-hmm. Then Marcello tries to fart for some reason. And he accidentally.
Yeah, he's like, maybe if I do this, and then Marcello ends up like apparently shitting himself and just sort of waddles out of the room.
Yeah, but that makes no sense. How does me farting change you? Like that, I don't know.
Whatever. Oh, that's where we're questioning the logic now?
Yes. That's where I'm questioning. That's where I draw the line, John.
That's the line.
I think there's some flaws scientifically in this sketch.
Okay. If we're bringing real science into this, I'm just going to hit you with the square cube law, sir.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, how can a human transform himself into a chicken and back again? Yeah. You know, I mean, where does all that extra mass go? Come on.
What if I told you this dog was a man? call back.
So we got Coleman Domingo. He returns as the villain, and he finds himself very attracted to Sarah in her half frog, half human form. And he says, oh, that one problem with that frog hand is it doesn't have my thing in it. And at that point, I'm like slightly creeped out because I'm like, wait, aren't they playing like kids in maybe junior high?
Exactly. Yes.
I was like, did nobody stop to say like, oh, we're making sexual overtures to underage kids?
Yes, that weirded me out.
I know the show is nearly over and it's not like innocent kids are watching this, but wow.
Right? That kind of weirded me out.
It is going on YouTube, so I mean, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I was like, let's not put this out there.
Yeah, it was. But and then he kind of explains that, like in his culture, that's like holding hands. And doesn't he say like he did that with his mother or his grandmother or something like that?
Yeah, it goes on. But then she
just took a turn.
It took a turn.
Yeah.
But then she agrees to be his queen because it's better than doing homework. Then she sneezes, changes back into a frog. Coleman Domingo screams, steps on the frog. The end.
Yeah.
A
little more weird than it is funny, I would say, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's just a weird sketch kind of held together with fart and burp jokes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, those are cool tools in the comedy writer's toolbox, I guess, so...
I guess, when in doubt...
What you gotta do.
When in doubt, fart it out. I guess.
I don't know. This one didn't do a whole lot for me, but
yeah.
I bet they had fun making it. So
it looked good, but yeah, that's about it. And that's the episode. I felt like it started strong, kind of petered out, but I did like Coleman Domingo. I thought he was a good host. I will say
I thought he was a really strong host. I mean, he brought a lot of energy. He's obviously a versatile performer. I'd forgotten that he had sketch experience, but it totally showed in the episode. Really strong host. I would love to see him come back. He did an excellent job.
I
understand like his good nights were cut off in the live show though.
Yeah, he was about to. That sucks. He was about to tell like this big story about his past, and yeah, they cut him off. But if you go online, they show the whole thing. Actually, if you're still on that dumpster fire, that is Twitter, because I refuse to call it X. Like, I will say that SNL always puts the good nights in its entirety on their Twitter feed. So if you go there, you can see exactly what he said.
And the whole thing is on Peacock. I watched it on Peacock.
Oh, it is.
His whole sketch is there. He is thanking everyone in creation. Very heartfelt. Oh. It's also kind of amusing because you see Marcella like sort of sliding in and out of frame.
Nice.
Overall, I thought this was a pretty good show. More good sketches than bad. So
yeah, I would say so.
And that's all I want from SNL.
More good than bad.
I just
bad.
Want more good stuff than bad stuff.
Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about this, but they did put out a Cut for Time segment on their YouTube page.
Do I?
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it, so I feel like we might as well talk about it.
Yeah, so. Sure. So basically, this Cut for Time Weekend Update segment, Jack Harlow talking about his new album. This one was written by Ben Marshall, Sierra O'Sullivan, Moss Perricone, and Carl Tart. For those that don't know, because I think you have to kind of be chronically online to kind of know about this, but Jack Harlow, a white rapper, recently...
A white rapper.
He
white
recently...
Rapper.
Yes. Oh, God. It's so breathy. Yeah, he recently put out an album called Monica, and it's supposed to be more kind of like neo-soul, and I think he was recorded on some interview saying like, oh yeah, I got more blacker this time around, or like it's kind
of... Wait, did he say I got blacker or I got more blacker?
I think he said I got blacker or more blacker.
Okay, because I mean, one of those is offensive on a certain level, the other one is offensive on a certain level and on an English grammar level. So
I think you said got blacker.
Well, okay. Well, now I hate Jack Harlow.
There you go. So yeah, so it's Ben Marshall comes out dressed as Jack Harlow, you know, talking to Che, of course, and be like, no, hey, it's all good. You know, I'm just doing my thing, y'all. And, it's just kind of Che kind of clowning him for sort of appropriating black culture and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty good. I kind of dug this.
Yeah, I like the line of like he was with his family and he heard about the backlash he was getting and he's like, oh, damn near ruined my Kwanzaa. And I liked the nicknames that they were throwing out there, like LL Cool Whip and D Anglo.
Yes,
those are some very clever nicknames. And also, they said towards the end of the sketch that apparently the album is called Monica because people are think that is, if you pronounce that a certain way, it sounds like he's trying to get away with using the N word.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You know, my beep.
Yes.
Which, wow. Okay, I won't look at Friends reruns the same way again.
Damn, that's right. That's why they named her Monica on the show. Oh, right. I see.
They were like, we got to compete with Living Single somehow.
Yeah. Oh, sons of bitches. But yeah, I mean, I kind of dug this. I like the way Ben Marshall played Jack Harlow. I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
Part of me kind of wish they kept this in, but I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty solid. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have done with this. I think I would have taken this over the two kids in the back of the bus, but
I'd agree with that.
We're throwing Cam Patterson a bone, I suppose. He had a pretty good week in terms of airtime. So
he got a ton of airtime this episode. This might be the most I've ever seen him, I think.
Yeah, probably. I still feel like he's not long for the show.
Yeah.
I'm not particularly sorry about that, but
damn.
You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, with how the last few years has gone, Lauren's going to burn it all down and rebuild the show around Cam Patterson and Janeway Klein. So
yeah, that's wow. Oh boy, don't you put that out there? Don't you put that on me, Jimmy?
I just feel like that would be on brand for the last couple seasons worth of who he's kept and who he's let go.
Oh boy, don't you put that out there, Ricky Bobby?
Hashtag justice for Chloe Trost.
Chloe Trost, yeah. But enough of us. What do you, the listeners, think? Let's go to the blue skies and see what our blue skyers think.
Let's do that.
Our good friend Stephen M. saying, host had the energy, but the writing wasn't there.
Ooh.
Fashion District had one long joke. Artemis was the best, I thought. R.I.P. Jake. Oh.
Jake.
From the Grandpa's Wake.
Oh, yeah. His name was Jake. Okay.
Yeah, all right. Had a bus.
Okay. All right. There we go. Yeah. Character names. I remember them.
There you go.
All right. Lahat He Lion says, salutations, fellow nerds. I really like this episode. The barbershop sketch is too real. I really liked What If I Told You, and I loved Grandpa's Wake. Ashley played a believable daughter whose dad was getting turned out. Did not like how both those sketches ended, though, but had fun. Love you guys. Aww. Peace. And then the little hand heart emoji.
Yeah. Love you too, Lihat.
Yeah. Yeah, please throw us an aerial tramway next week.
Aerial tramway!
Aerial tramway!
let's talk to our man from across the pond, Nick, saying, I'd have Coleman back to host again. Thought he was a natural, but generally, the show just washed over me. I just finished watching, and I don't know if I could give you an accurate rundown. Weekend Update was good, the jokes at least. Did they cut Jane short? Oh, well, let me go watch SNL UK. And then
they cut Jane short on her Weekend Update segment?
Yeah, I felt like that was long enough. Like, I mean, her segment's only like 3 minutes long, but that was fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say I noticed that.
Yeah, yeah. Nick is sort of our SNL UK correspondent now, because he's saying he watched SNL.
Okay. UK. Yeah, great.
Watched SNL UK. It's a little down on the last couple of weeks. I blame the host. There seemed to be a lot of and then they kiss kind of sketches. Although George kills it again in Dad Swap. Celeste got a good run out with some sound. Comedic acting, their cold opens run rings around hours. I will say that. Their cold open, this last cold open they did with the Melania Trump, I thought was better than what we...
Yeah, I got to check that out. I've not gone back and sampled SNL UK again since we watched the premiere a few weeks back. But I want to, you know, check in on it again. I don't know if I'm going to watch all three of the episodes, but I'd like to dip in and out and at least watch some sketches. So that may be how I consume them from now on.
Okay. Yeah, I will say the recent one they had on the Jack Whitehall hosted episode, I've only seen the cold open and the sketch called Dad Swapped, which is pretty good.
Okay. All right.
I'll let you watch it. It's all on YouTube.
I will check those out. I still find it hilarious that they had Jack Whitehall host right after we had Jack Black and Jack White on last week.
I think they did a promo for it too, where they had Jack Whitehall talk to Jack Black on the on the phone, like FaceTime, and then the cast member Jack Shep came in and talked to Jack Black. So it's like three Jacks talking to each other.
It would be really fun if the schedules work out properly, because I'm assuming the UK show is going on for a little while longer for this year. It would be neat if we could have like some cameos of the US people on the UK show and vice versa. But I guess the UK show maybe would have to build a bit more of a following in this country for that to work. But that could be fun. Yeah,
it could be fun. Once they build, once they build up their following, get their sea legs, I think that's a good bet that they'll probably do something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that would be fun. I'd like to see SNL UK last and make a real go of it.
Absolutely.
And then lastly, Drew S. Rod says, greetings, nerds. This was a fun ep. Coleman was very funny and seemed game for anything. Funeral sketch was legitimately one of the funniest of the season. Anita was good. Pretty certain Lauren has no idea who she is.
Hey! See?
Yeah, it's catching on. Such a shame that NBC cut live feed in the middle of Coleman's goodnight speech. Yeah, that's just too bad timing-wise. But, that happens occasionally. So.
Yeah, c'est la vie. C'est la vie.
C'est la vie. At least it's all up online and on Peacock. So
it's all there for the people to see. Don't worry.
It's all there. All there to check out. So that I think is about it for this week. Thanks so much for listening to all of our nonsense again.
Yes. Thanks for listening as always. That's the episode. And thank you. And as always, you could follow us on the Blue Skies at SNL Nerds. You can listen to this on the YouTube. We got on our YouTube page. non-productive.com, non-pro. You could donate to our Patreon, all of that, all these things are here for you. And as always, you can follow me, myself, and I on all the social medias at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N, Credible.
And you can follow me on all the socials at Trumbull Comic. That's spelled T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and the word comic. So that's where you can find me. And, check us out on the YouTube, on non-productive.com, all that fun stuff. And then come back here and listen what we have to say about SNL and SNL-adjacent things.
Indeed.
So, like, what are we going to do next week, Darren? Do we know yet? Do we?
No? I think. I think we're still working.
I don't plan out the show. I only know what you tell me.
Yes, you just show up and be like, "What are we doing?"
I just show up and I'm like, "What are we doing?" and you give me the title of the movie and I'm like, "Oh, sounds bad.
Sounds terrible.
Sounds bad. I didn't watch it."
Yeah, and then I
give Darren a noogie.
Yeah, I know he's. He really is the Biff Tannen of this podcast.
Yeah.
Now, Biff, don't, I'm the George McFly. He's the Biff Tannen. That's the dynamic we have on this podcast.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, good times. But, yeah.
All right, still... better hurry up because I'm going to give you a swirly soon.
What are you looking at, butthead?
Dork thinks he's going to drown.
Yeah, nice. It all comes full circle. But the show is going to be up for 2 weeks. We haven't quite decided what we're going to do for the next week, but rest assured you will be hearing our smooth, sultry voices in the next 2 weeks leading up to the final 3 episodes of the season of SNL. Mm-hmm. And
we're going to watch one thing. We're going to watch another thing. Yeah. One of them possibly involves a guest. So it's complicated. It's scheduling stuff.
You don't need to know all the nuts and bolts.
You don't need to know how the sausage is made. Just rest assured, we're going to come back with something SNL related.
Exactly. Okay? So just hold your horses.
Where's all this anger coming from?
Whoa.
What the hell?
Whoa.
I mean, step back a little bit.
Easy, fella. Whoa.
Easy.
You're coming in hot.
Let's pump the brakes.
Yeah. Fella, I mean, This podcast is free, man. All right?
You get this podcast for free. Yeah.
No one's telling you have to listen.
It's not costing you anything but time, buddy.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
So just hold your horses and come back. Dial down the attitude a little bit. We got you up here. We need you down to here.
You're at a 10. We want you at a 2.
Right.
Okay. All right. We're all calm. Everybody's okay.
We'll be back next week watching a movie involving an SNL alum, maybe possibly somebody who has produced SNL.
Ooh.
You know, a little teaser.
Wink.
Or maybe a movie starring one of the most beloved cast members of SNL ever.
Wink.
One of those. Maybe something.
Wink.
So, that'll be it till next week. But until then,
Nerds Out!
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com. Thank you.